Network. The views and opinions presented in this program do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Don't change that dial. The doctors are in the house, live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show on the WGBB. It's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air. The reason why I'm laughing, I started the music early and I threw them all off.
And that was Dr. John Palmer. I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we have Dr. Lionel, and we're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
We most certainly do.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being such loyal
listeners. Don't you have to welcome a special group of listeners?
Yes. Yes. Thank you, John. Thank you so much. We want to especially welcome Kellenberg High School.
Yay! Kellenberg High School!
Yay! Who's listening with Nick, who is teaching the class on how to make crosses. So welcome, Kellenberg High School. It's great to say that you're part of our listeners.
But I want to tell the class that's there, he doesn't know a thing about making a cross. So, you know, do the best you can with him. Honor him. You know, he's kind of a nice guy.
He is a nice guy. He's very dedicated, and he makes the best crosses you ever saw. So welcome, guys, and we hope you enjoy the show.
And don't you have another announcement?
Yes, and speaking of... my good old friend, Al Barbarino.
Yeah, Ray Al Barbarino. Hey, Al.
We love him. See, he's trying to make up Al for all the nasty things he says. This week, you're going to be appearing at the St. Cyril and
Methodius.
Right, in Deer Park.
Yes.
On March the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th. And listeners, if you haven't heard Al do a...
Count your blessings. No,
if you haven't heard, you should. You should hear him talk, and you should hear him sing. When he sings, the music sounds like it's coming right from the ceiling, right from heaven. So if you can make it, please do. You'll be in for an inspirational
treat. What are those dates? It's this weekend, isn't it?
It's this weekend, yes. March 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th.
So he's doing a mission there.
He's doing a mission.
Well, he's great. And all of the money for anything you buy there goes to his ministry, prison ministry.
Yes.
And that's good to mention because he does so many things for nothing.
I love this guy. He's a great guy.
Well, let's not get sickening about it.
But I do. He knows I love him.
Okay.
So, Al, anyway, we love you, baby. And thank you for singing our theme song 218 times.
Now, today we're going to ask listeners to think about giving. Giving. And we're going to have Dr. Lionel Mayo describe what we want them to give. But they don't have to give now. They can give just by signing the back of their driver's license.
Right.
Lionel, why don't you tell our listeners what you... First of all, welcome.
Yeah, and where you're from.
Okay.
And you know, all about North Shore and stuff like that.
All right. I'm a nephrologist, which is a kidney specialist, a physician. And I deal with patients who mainly have something related to their kidneys. And a large number of them can proceed and progress into renal failure. Fortunately, in the areas of medicine, nephrology, compared to some of the other specialties, has a temporary out, which is called dialysis, for patients who do develop kidney failure.
Yes.
But I would like to talk about transplantation in general. We're in the middle of Lent. So it's a good time to begin to think about others and donating and giving of yourself. But if someone has a very bad cardiac condition and is on the list for a heart transplant, there's no real treatment for a failing heart like there is for dialysis for failing kidneys. And New York State, in general, is the second lowest state in the nation in the number of people who have signed the backs of their licenses or who have separate organ donor cards, which are very readily available, to give organs. And it's, even though I'm a kidney specialist, you can also sign up to donate skin, corneas, your heart, your lungs, pancreas, liver, and you can, a human body at the point where they're dying and have done this can give, save up to a dozen lives if they begin to think of others. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, there are some conditions where people cannot be donors. If you have an overwhelming infection or other kinds of things, that gets decided at the time. But it's a real problem.
Yes.
By the way, if they don't get the transplant, they die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By the way, I do have a good friend of ours that got a kidney transplant, got a call. He had to go down immediately for it. He readily ran down there, got the transplant, and it's like night and day. It's amazing what he is doing today and how he's progressed. And how I would call it a miracle.
Oh, it clearly is miraculous. And after the first 3-4 weeks when your medications need to be adjusted very radically, because it's a shock to your system to be on these anti-rejection drugs. They lower your immune system. You're prone to infections. It's very difficult for the physicians at that time. But once it's adjusted, the patients do much, much better.
Oh, it's just what happened. Yes, it's just what happened. When I see him, I saw him the other last week. I was like, oh, my God. This has got to be a miracle. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. It really was.
And even in other organs, I know a couple of patients who've had cardiac transplants, and it's like night and day after several weeks. It's miraculous, and it makes you think of other things besides just what was done medically.
I'm sure, and I'm sure there's some inspirational spirituality involved in it also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's an amazing thing that you do, Doctor. It really is.
If I ever have a need for a brain transplant, please don't have me get Anthony's.
I don't blame you.
Now, you also mentioned in the car on the way out that people who are on dialysis, some of them become very spiritual
mm-hmm,
for this.
Mm-hmm.
What happens?
I don't know. We were chatting about that. I'll back up a step or two before that. Dialysis is clearly life-saving, and I know some people who, for whatever reason, are either not eligible for a transplant because of their underlying diseases or bad hearts or vascular disease. But one should look at dialysis as A, life-saving, but B, it's a real part-time job because you have to go back and forth to the unit, and you spend a good 15 hours a week minimum of your week doing it. Mm. And many people do it at home, which gives you more flexibility in the schedule, but it's still 15, 18 hours a week.
Wow.
And something happens to, I would say, 3/4 of the patients who begin dialysis after about a month or two. That there's a calmness. They talk about God many times, blessings. Mm-hmm. They love the staff and thank God for the staff. And I don't know what it is, but it...
Wow.
It clearly happens. It's, and I must tell you, the dialysis units, for the most part, are very, I don't know what the word, you know, there's no religion, you know, in them. You know, it's pure business.
Pure business, medical.
Well, it's medical, you know, sterile.
Uh-huh.
You, you know what it's like going into a hospital or a clinic, you know. Everything's the same color. There are a few pictures on the walls. So it's not from the surroundings. It's got to be from the interaction with the people or the doctors or the other patients. And friendships developed.
Yeah. You know, that's an excellent point that you're bringing up, Doctor. Developing a relationship with your doctor. Hmm. And you know what? And that's why I think it's so important that people search out the doctors very carefully. And if they could find a Catholic doctor to relate to, I think that would be another plus.
Or God relationship.
Where God would come into their lives. And we always try to bring professionals with a Catholic perspective on our show to let people know there are very intelligent and very talented Catholic professionals that were really, really worthy of their consideration. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
I used to belong to the Association of Christian Therapists.
Oh, well, why did they call you out?
Listen, well, I was on the board, but I have too many other things to do.
Oh, okay.
But they would have doctors, nurses, therapists, all part, and go down the list of people. And while they are treating patients, they pray about them. Not openly, they pray internally.
That's what I'm talking about.
And that God is there with them. And do you do any of that? Do you pray while you're working internally?
I must, but I don't know.
Okay.
But that's a good point, John.
And they've seen, when they've done that, they've seen miraculous recoveries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's something I'll have to keep in mind to pay attention to and notice whether or not I do.
Yeah, because even just saying the glory be to the Father and to the Son or the Our Father, internally, while you're working. I know when people pray with people who are going for surgery, I pray that Jesus be on their right hand and Mary be on their left hand, and that they guide the surgeon's hands to the right place.
Yeah,
I met with, I don't know why it's popping into my mind, Michael Reale, who was an advocate of a friend of Padre Pio after he went out to see Padre Pio. And his mother was pregnant, and they didn't think she was going to be able to give birth. But the doctor's hands were guided to a different way of doing the incision, and Michael was born where otherwise he would not have. Isn't that interesting how God comes right in? That's what you're talking about. God's right in those interactions.
Yeah.
It's hard to see that, but it's there.
Well, that's what I mean by going with professionals with a Catholic perspective on it. My brother had a situation where he was pretty bad, and the nurse actually held his hand and prayed for him.
Mm.
And he got better quickly. I mean, those things happen.
I think a lot of nurses do that in
do
general,
they?
In the hospitals.
I think that's,
and
that's great.
You know,
That I mean, it really left an impression on him that the nurse held his hand and prayed with him.
So. Now, you brought a lot of statistics along, and I'd love for you to go into some of the statistics so that people understand the need for transplants.
Well, kidney transplants are the most prevalent of all the organs, and there is somewhere around 14,000 to 15,000 transplants every year.
Mm.
But that has been flat. That rate has been maybe even decreasing slightly the last couple of years. And one of the reasons is there aren't enough donors.
Mm.
Now, the ideal circumstance is a living donor, whether it be related or unrelated, because many people can match even if you're unrelated. And that becomes an avenue to obtain more. But where it's sorely lacking is in people who, when they're faced with death, especially in a hospital setting, where organs can be harvested, that there's no organ donor card. And New York State is the second lowest state in the union, with only Vermont being lower.
Wow.
And the wait list for a kidney in the Northeast, like the metropolitan area, the tri-state area, is somewhere around 7 years.
Wow. Oh, my Lord. Wow.
While in Florida, for example, in Alabama, where they're at the top of the pile in numbers of people who have signed up on their licenses and organ donor cards, the wait for a kidney transplant is only about a year and a half or two.
Now, can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
If there are, if there are any, and I think there are some listeners that have a propensity to want to donate a kidney or maybe another part of their body, who do they call? Their doctor? What do they
do? They can mention it to their doctor, A. They can go to the Organ Donor Network in New York, which covers this region.
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
It's called Live On New York, is the name of the Organ Donor Network. And or they can call a transplant center directly, either in the city or on the island, and tell them they'd like to be a living altruistic donor if they don't have a relative who needs a kidney.
Uh-huh.
And I've had two patients, not recently, but in the last 3-4 years, who've actually received their kidney through a program in one of the Catholic churches in Queens, where their parishioners tell the priest about it, and there's a network through that church.
Isn't that a wonderful idea? Hmm. If networks would be started in the parishes?
Is there any danger if you contribute one kidney?
Well, the major risk, there's surgery and anesthesia. Yeah. There's always a risk. But the steps in the journey to get to that point for a donor and or a recipient is very, very long and very onerous. They look at every single part of your body to make sure there's nothing wrong with you. And if you're a living donor, unless you're of a somewhat advanced age.
We don't talk about that.
Well, no, I didn't say elderly.
Oh, okay.
You got a guilt complex, Palmer.
We're both young,
we're
right?
We're both young. That's right. We're two young kids.
I don't
young
know
kids.
What you mean.
We're three young kids in love with Jesus.
Anyway, you go through a very rigorous process to make sure that the risk of surgery is so low that the benefit of the organ donation is very high,
mm-hmm.
A. Then when you do donate a kidney, for example, they're even doing living liver transplants now where they take about a third of a patient's liver and give it to someone who has very bad liver failure.
Wow.
And they go through the same onerous process. And what happens is, the remaining part of your liver over the course of about 18 to 24 months will regenerate a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're never back to 100%, but maybe 80%. And with the kidney, even though you have a solitary kidney, and if you're below about the age of 65 or 70, that kidney develops what's called hypertrophy, where it grows somewhat. And you get back to about 75% of your total function.
I didn't know that. Really? That's fascinating.
Yeah.
God built it that way.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He knew in advance.
Absolutely.
Know.
Yeah.
So that, A, the patient doesn't go into kidney failure. But there is a slightly higher risk of developing high blood pressure, usually about 10 or 12 years later.
I see. But that can be controlled, right?
Oh, yeah. The
medication?
Yes, yes.
I got high blood pressure without contributing anything. You know? But, you know, Lionel, that's really very reassuring for anyone who thinks about it. Because I've had friends that tell me that they contributed a kidney to someone who wasn't completely related to them. And I'd say, what's the matter with you? you're going to have more health problems just because of doing that, and that's not true.
No, no. You're at risk, for, as I mentioned, for the high blood pressure.
Sure.
But basically, you know, you passed, you were squeaky clean before having the surgery.
Procedure.
The procedure.
Right. Yes.
Like, for example, if you had diabetes, they wouldn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
If you had any degree of blood pressure elevation on or off, you know. Now, they do what are called extended criteria donations, but that's mainly for older folk.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's looking at us, John.
Mm-hmm. for older individuals who might have a shorter lifespan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And in fact, the new criteria for listing on the transplant wait list pay a lot of attention to quote-unquote life expectancy.
Really?
Yes. In an attempt...
Sort of looking at the charts.
They're looking at the statistics.
Statistics, yep.
And the major reason for that is it became very obvious a couple years ago, based on all the data that gets collected every single year through the transplant and dialysis networks, that total donations, whether it be kidney, liver, heart, lungs, you know, have not really increased, and donations haven't increased. So they changed the criteria in order to try to make it easier to get more transplants.
Oh, I see. Now, Dr. Lionel, if some of our listeners, and I suspect there might be a few that have a propensity to want to either become a donor or become a recipient, would they call somebody? Would they call their doctor? Would they call the association? What would be their first step? To become a donor or to become a recipient?
Well, there are transplant programs that would be very happy to hear from those people. Now, I'm affiliated with North Shore University Hospital System.
Uh-huh.
So obviously...
Can they call you?
Well, they can either call me or call the transplant office. The number is available. I don't know it right off.
Okay.
What I can do is I'll make sure I give it to Dr. Palmer and to you, Tony.
Okay, yes.
And then, you know, not at the next program, you can just give it out to the people.
Okay.
I should have thought of that.
All right, now.
But the point I'm making is some programs only do kidneys. Some of the programs in New York City, for example, New York Presbyterian at Cornell and New York Presbyterian at Columbia, Mount Sinai, NYU, do multiple organs, you know, livers. Columbia Presbyterian does lungs, does hearts, does multiple organs. And if you call any one of those transplant programs, they will clearly take your name and be very happy.
Okay. Okay.
That brings up a... can I...
Yes, keep going. Please, sure. Please, okay. Keep going.
That brings up what's called matched pair donations. We were chatting about that before the program.
Yes.
And there was actually an article in Newsday last week about a six-way match that was done, I believe, in Florida. But the matched pair program got started at Johns Hopkins, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, where they were trying to figure out how to get more living transplants. Living transplants do the best. Not that deceased donor transplants do badly, but it's far and away even better. And they came upon a couple at Hopkins where the wife of a spouse wanted to donate but was not a match for her husband. And all of this is computerized. And they found a person with whom she matched And there was another chap down the list who had wanted, who matched with her husband. So they did, you know, like a three-way switch.
Wow. Oh, wow. It's networking, all right.
Yeah, it's net. And this has been increased now. The one that was mentioned in the paper last week was a six-way switch, like dominoes, because of the way it, you know, the donations
a
fell.
A multiplier effect.
Right.
Wow.
And, you know, so someone wanting to be an altruist, living altruistic donor, which probably is, when you come to think of giving, the most a person can give of themselves, and it's got to be a religious, spiritual kind of thing, because you just don't come upon this totally out of the clear blue on your own.
God leads you.
You know, so there are those kinds of programs.
That are spiritual and religious.
Well, I believe it has to be.
And I do too.
I'm not sure they're called that, but it's got to be there.
Yeah.
Do you do surgery?
No.
You don't do
surgery? Oh, no blood, guts, or babies.
This is our card, by the way.
Oh, okay.
It's John and I.
You know, I have a song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
John does the songs.
I chose one, but I was being a wise guy. I'm not going to play the one I chose. I told you on the way out. And the song was, "I Only Have One Heart to Give." I figured that would be a little bit too heavy-handed. But yeah, I'm sorry. But Dana has a song that I think would be what every person in need would really, truly sing.
She's a good one.
It's called "Let Me Live."
Oh, perfect.
Oh. So listeners, take it into your heart. See if you can bring the gift of life to someone in need.
Let me live. If you have to choose, choose me and let me live. Let me live. You cannot know the difference I could make till you look into my face. You're my mother. Let me live. Let me live. We have years to share together. Let me live. We've so much to give each other. Let me live. As you carry me, so I will carry you. And love will see us through. You're my mother. Let me live. I am waiting, only waiting for the day that you will hold me.
Couldn't help but think of the people who are waiting, waiting for a transplant. This has got to be their song. Listeners, be open
me
to God.
With you and you with me. If you have to choose, choose me and let me live. I have so much love to give.
Good selection, Dr. Palmer.
Yeah, and you know, we hear so much about euthanasia and so much about abortion. I'm so glad we're able to focus on saving lives.
And living.
And living.
And I witnessed, as I mentioned before, someone that did get a transplant, got the call, had to be down there the same day, went down there, got the transplant. He's doing so beautifully today. And that's the sure sign of giving life with the transplant.
Well, we're very fortunate here on Long Island, where I practice anyway, compared to, I'm sure, many other nephrologists, for example, who might be in the inner city, mm-hmm. that patients from Nassau County and Suffolk County tend to be better off financially, Queens even, than many others, and they will get listed, for example, in Florida and go to Pennsylvania where the wait time is shorter, and a couple of other places, Maryland, where the wait time is much shorter, mm-hmm. and more people have organ donor cards. Mm-hmm. And when they get called, they take a jet. You know,
right.
You can hire these private jets
yes.
from Republic Air Base, airport, and they'll fly you to Tampa or to Miami in 3 hours. You know, so that's a luxury that we shouldn't, you know, thumb our noses at, because someone is using their means for a good deed.
Absolutely.
Can
yeah.
you imagine how a person must feel when they get a call? And like your friend, say, come immediately.
And he did. He dropped everything and went. And I saw him a week or two ago. He was great, really good.
It's much easier if you run into the city or go to Stony Brook or North Shore, because
right.
that's a stone's throw, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Even with a little traffic, maybe an hour.
But
it's otherwise, it can be very onerous.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Lionel, I'm so glad you came.
Oh, thank you.
Because I think it's an important message to get out to the community. Really, it is.
Yeah, and that there is a need for donors.
They can actually save lives.
And it saves lives and changes people's lives around. And it actually does.
Can I put a plug in?
Yes, absolutely. Please do.
At St. Mary's in Manhasset,
yeah.
there's a young man who's a high school freshman. He goes to Manhasset High School but belongs to the parish, who's working on an Eagle Scout project.
Mm.
And it just got approved the last several days. And it's going to be in the Port Washington, Manhasset, Roslyn, Great Neck area. He's going to go to the various churches with his Boy Scout troops.
Really?
To the library, to the firehouses.
To get the word out.
To get people to sign up as organ donors.
And isn't next month a special month for this?
Oh, yeah. April is National Organ Donor Month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is appropriate. We're having this in March in preparation.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like we planned it this way.
Well, the Holy Spirit does the planning.
You know, Lionel, we usually do a scriptural reflection for the week. And then we do a saint of the day, and then we end up praying for healing. And we just are happy you're here to participate in this.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
And we do have, you want to introduce the reflection for the week in your usual Brooklyn way?
No, you're going to do it. I don't, John does the reflection because I'm from Brooklyn and I have a Brooklyn accent. So it's best that John does it. He's from Queens. He has very distinct, distinguished accent. So John does it. But the reflection is from a admirer of our show who's a religious person and wants to remain anonymous. And so we don't mention his name, but every week he sends us a reflection. And John reads it.
And I read it with my best accent.
From Queens.
And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. John chapter 3. We are all relieved to have more daylight as of last Sunday, even if it meant having to sacrifice an hour of sleep. The light represents life and warmth to us. With the darkness, we think only of death and cold. If only we would make the same association when it comes to the way we live, morally speaking. For it seems the opposite when it comes to that. We prefer the darkness of a closed soul and a deadened conscience. These allow us the freedom to scheme or plot against another for selfish and vengeful reasons. These allow us the freedom to rationalize our mediocrity and our lukewarmness in living out our Catholic religion. And they provide a cover when we want to break any of the Ten Commandments. How different it is when a person lives in the light, who is Christ. Then, even though there may be sins and faults, one seeks out even the light of the confessional. One is not afraid of naming their sins, because the penitent sinner knows the truth, who is Jesus Christ, who came to leave his eternal light and life in one's soul after one confesses. This is the mercy of God at work, for God so loved the world. Isn't that what we're talking about?
Yes, and very well read, by the way, Dr. Palmer.
Well, it's very well written, you know, and it's easy to read.
Yeah, thank you so much. You
know, who's our saint?
Well, it has to be St. Patrick, who's coming up in a few days.
Because
St. Patrick, because the patron saint of Ireland, because he is so beloved by all Irishmen.
You're not going to do one of those Irish things, are you now?
No, I'm not. But okay. I have so many friends that are Irish, and like my dear friend Jed O'Brien and Debbie O'Brien, and so many others, and that if I don't do St. Patrick, I think we would be in trouble. But there are things about St. Patrick that even the Irish people don't know.
Like what?
For instance, did you know that he cleaned out the pagans out of Ireland? There are Irishmen today that would not probably be Catholics. They would probably be pagans if it wasn't for St. Patrick.
Mm.
Do you know that he equated the shamrock to the Holy Spirit?
To the Trinity.
To the Trinity?
Yeah.
And related it very, very explicitly to the Holy Trinity, the three parts of the shamrock.
Mm-hmm.
So who is this guy, St. Patrick? Well, when he was 16, he was captured by pirates. They had come to raid his homeland of Britain. He's from Britain, by the way. Looking for strong lads like him that could sell, they could sell as slaves in Ireland. And that's what happened to Patrick. He was brought by a local chief in the west of Ireland and set out to work as a herdsman. Ireland had never been part of the Roman Empire. It had its own pagan gods, its own laws, its own language. To young Patrick, it seemed a wild and strange place. Paganism? What about God? He'd been brought up as a Christian, but the faith had never meant very much to him. But now, as he looked after the animals in his care, he began to think more and more about Christianity. In particular, he thought a lot about the belief that God is one being, but at the same time also God the Father, God the Son, who came to earth, and God the Spirit, who is present at all things. Christians give this idea of three in one the name, the Holy Trinity. He thought a lot about that. Not surprisingly, Patrick hated the hard life of slavery and eventually managed to escape. He made his way to the coast where he hoped to find a ship that would take him home to Britain. When he did find the ship, the sailors refused to take him on board. He returned miserably away, but still prayed for help. As he prayed, the sailors called him back and let him on board. It was a stormy voyage. The winds blew them off course, and when they did reach land, they had no idea where they were. Even worse, their food had run out, and it seemed that they might even starve to death. You're a Christian, said one of the sailors. Why don't you pray for food? Patrick did. Within a minute, a herd of wild pigs came scuttling past, and the sailors were able to catch some of them. Patrick was suddenly became a very popular person, as you can imagine. Over the next 20 years, Patrick lived mainly in France and studied to become a priest. Later, he made a bishop and was sent to Ireland in order to spread the word of Jesus there. He was probably chosen for his work because he spoke the Irish language. At that time, Ireland had divided into tribal groups, each ruled by a chief. But the one who had once brought Patrick as a slave boy, one of the chiefs, also had the title High King of Ireland. And he ruled from Tara in country Meath. His name was Lagahaya, which is pronounced Larry. One day, as the story goes, High King Lagahaya was celebrating a pagan festival, as they did throughout Ireland. At this festival, all the fires and lights were put out. No flame was to be seen anywhere until a burning torch was carried out to the king's palace. But this particular festival happened at the time of Easter, and Patrick lit the Easter candle in the darkness as a reminder of how Jesus rose from the dead. The pagans were very angry and threatened Patrick with death, but his bodily explained to King Lagahaya the meaning of Easter. The king listened, and from then on, Patrick was allowed to travel to Ireland teaching about Jesus, evangelizing, turning Ireland from a pagan country into a Christian country. It was dangerous work because not all the chiefs were as friendly as Lagahaya. He had proved to be, to Patrick, a good friend. Patrick himself once wrote daily, I expect either a violent death or to be robbed and reduced to slavery. Many other stories are told about Patrick. One tells how Patrick rid Ireland of snakes by saying a prayer or spell. which made them all go into the sea. However, it was to be said that there were probably never any snakes in Ireland in the first place. Much more likely. now I broke the thing. Much more likely to be true is the story that recalls how he used a shamrock leaf to explain the Trinity. The Trinity is like the shamrock, he explained, like the leaf. It's three in one. It's only one leaf, but three parts. Make the complete leaf. And that is said is why the shamrock became the emblem of Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the brief story of St. Patrick, and he did a lot more than we or I even imagined by actually converting Ireland from paganism to Christianity.
But there were no snakes?
There were no snakes, I'm sorry to tell you. That's what this research said, but I did other research and I didn't come up with that, so I'll stick with the no snakes.
Whoever that is a brave person. You don't say that openly around an Irishman. Pay for it big time.
All you Irishmen, this one was for you. Thank you for listening, and we love yous.
But you know, the Trinity, the three persons in one, that's central to our belief system.
That's central to our religion, yes.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And one time I asked, you know, because I write and I think and I meditate and so forth, and I say, Lord, thank you, Jesus. And I heard, how do you know it's Jesus talking to you? It might be God the Father. It might be the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's all of us talking at once in you. You really don't know.
That's a good question.
What do you mean? He said, just because you sign a name at the bottom of your meditation doesn't mean that that's who's talking. And so now you're confusing me. Well, he said, the Trinity is a mystery. And of course you won't understand. Nobody can understand.
The Holy Trinity.
Yeah. And I also like the bringing the light. It's on the Easter candle into Ireland,
mm-hmm.
which goes along with our meditation, bringing the light of Jesus into the world, which is what you're doing, Lionel. We're bringing light, the light of life, to people.
That's a great
through
point.
Through all of those people who can contribute organs mm-hmm. to save a life. And I never really ever thought of that Dana song as being so sentimentally true. Please give me life. Wow. That's really something.
Yeah, and do you know everyone waiting to become a recipient of an organ is probably praying that prayer, please give me life.
Yeah.
Through that donation of the organ.
Lionel, I know you also are very a spiritual man, but I also know you have a hobby of photography. Why don't you tell Tony and our listeners that you take pictures at all the national parks? I've seen them. They're beautiful.
Do you really?
About it. Yeah. How did that ever start in you? I caught you off guard. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm not going to talk about a transplant but no, right now.
Well, it's another part of you. It's another part of you. Yeah, we would like
very
to know.
Very significant part.
I don't know. I started taking pictures when I was in high school.
Really?
Yeah. A long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember, film and slides and dark rooms and the like. And if you speak to my wife, she'll say we're running out of space because of all the pictures.
Yeah.
So it's been a lifelong avocation.
I saw one picture that you had taken, which was coming out of a chapel up onto a cross and a beautiful scenery behind mm-hmm. it. And you seem to capture, you should do something with those pictures.
No, we've been going to visit national parks for several years now.
Really?
And that's a spiritual experience in
God.
Itself because, you know, to see nature, you know, that's... Yes, it's busy with tourists and everything, but it's basically, you know, untouched and pure. And one of the most memorable scenes that, just like John just mentioned, there's this little Episcopal chapel at the entrance of Grand Teton National Park.
Mm-hmm.
And the altar is at the one end, and there are stained glass windows along the side, but it's a clear glass window with the snow-covered mountains in the back. And the cross on the altar sort of is like just in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And Kathy and I must have sat in that chapel a good 30 minutes praying silently. Because, you know, who could give you a scene like that but God for all practical purposes?
Absolutely.
And, you know, so many people find God in nature, you know, and it really is just mind-boggling to know the creation that he has made. We're ruining it in many ways,
right,
but the creation that he made.
But when you sit and you think about it and you actually witness what he created out of nothing, it becomes a wow. You know, the sky, the stars, the moon, all created just from God, one person. And so I can understand you, your hobby, taking pictures of God's creations.
Well, there's another place much closer up in Maine. And I don't mean to get political, but it's on land donated by the Prescotts, you know, who had been the Bush and the Prescott
right.
in Kennebunkport, right next to the Bush compound. There's this point of land that juts out into the ocean, and the original Prescott family donated a chapel. I believe it's an Anglican chapel also, and it doesn't quite look out on the ocean as it does in the Grand Tetons, but next to the chapel is an outdoor chapel with concrete pews and an altar. And if you go there at sunset, it's like glorious. You can't but be, you know, stopped in your tracks, just listening to the ocean, watching the sunset over the ocean. You know you're in a church, even though you're outdoors, because the structure of the indoor church is right there, maybe 150 feet away, you know, and it's just magnificent.
And the thought in mind always comes, wow, God created this.
Mm-hmm.
And we spend, I want to get some healing prayer
Let's do it.
Because we do spend time on each program praying for healing, and maybe today we'll pray for people to be moved to be organ contributors.
Yes, absolutely.
And Jesus, we put ourselves in your presence, and we know that you have all of our intentions in your heart, and because the listeners have been sending these in line over so long, and Lord, we just ask if you have anything that you wish to say or just to allow us to pray. Help us to get out of the way and allow you to have your say. And I do hear something inside of me. It's so simple. Give the gift of life to whomever we lead you to do so. Do not hesitate. Put yourself in our presence, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Blessed Trinity. Allow us to let you play us for those who are dying without your organ being contributed. Sign up as an organ donor. Get moving so that those who we wish to remain alive may do what we want them to contribute in the days that are added on to their lifespan through your generosity. Thank you, Lord, and we pray also for so many of our friends. You have a daughter, a granddaughter, don't you, of a friend of yours.
Yes. Let me just mention that I received a phone call from someone that I know for 53 years, and I haven't spoken to him. And his granddaughter was a preemie. And he asked that we pray for her because she's 1 pound or 1.5 pounds, and her chances are she's going to be blind.
Oh.
And, so she prayed, and he was praying Sunday at Mass, and he got in his head that he should call us and
okay.
ask us to ask our listeners to pray for her.
Okay.
So,
Lionel, do you have anyone you would like to pray for in particular?
Well, I always pray for all our children and grandchildren.
Amen.
Amen.
Every listener has that prayer.
Yeah.
I think, you know, family. Family is being destroyed in this country, so you have to pray for family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And both John and I's children are going through medical tests and stuff like that. So we pray that their medical tests come out good and that everything is fine and dandy.
And we just pray for all of our listeners and all of their needs. And we thank you, Jesus, for being here and for blessing them.
And allowing us to do the show, Jesus. You've allowed us to do it for 4 years, amazingly. I never in my life expected that John and I were going to last for 4 years.
And every time I pray, I sometimes ask Jesus, do you know what you're doing? I do that in particular when it comes to this program. And I'd like to end with a little song, The Spirit Moves in Me Today. And really done by Vineyard, I think, ministry.
Okay. I just want to also thank you to the listeners for listening. We love you. And thank good Dr. Lionel for coming.
Thank you very much for asking me.
Our pleasure.
Being open to the Spirit moving in him to write this.
Next week there's a conference at Cardinal Spellman High School, Divine Mercy Conference. If you want, you can get in touch with Monsignor LaSante. He'll tell you all about it.
Did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. Management or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240.